The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. Time again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here are your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. You know, we've been running the commercials for the Sportsman's Expo out in Washington County, sponsored by the Maryland Fur Trappers Incorporated. And they've got their event coming up on August 1st and 2nd, which is Friday and Saturday, with kickoff on Friday morning early, and then the crab feast on Friday night. And then Saturday is the another event-filled day with a lot of demonstrations and items for sale. We have with us Richard Garrett here from the Eastern Shore, who's been with the Maryland Fur Trappers for a long, long time. Richard, we've known each other for quite a while, haven't we, buddy?
It's been a few years. Go back to the prior to your Bass Pro days.
yeah, probably back to the old Buck Fever days back in the 90s.
The Buck Fever shows, too. Remember setting up with those?
Yeah, early 90s, man. Bringing back some memories, that's for sure. So, Richard, you've been with the Trappers for a long, long time, and I know you, you've trapped and you enjoyed it. And bring us up to date a little bit on what's going on with the show. I mean, we've covered, you heard the commercial, I hope. And
yeah, I did.
And we've covered it fairly extensively, but we can't mention all the demonstrations and things like that. So kick us off on Friday early in the morning.
Friday early in the morning, we start out, I don't have the demo schedule in front of me, but I think we start out with fox trapping because Maryland, one of the things Maryland is known for is lots of foxes.
Lots of foxes.
Especially on the Eastern Shore, there's still tons of red fox everywhere. Coyotes have cut into them a little bit in other parts of the state. But
you know, explain that a little bit. Coyotes have cut into them. They're mortal enemies, right?
Yeah, they're enemies, but they also, coyotes just out-compete them. You know, they compete for the same resources. They utilize the habitat in a lot of the same ways, and they eat the same things. So the coyote's a more efficient predator, and when coyotes move in, you tend to get less red foxes. You know, they kill them if they can, and they force them to retreat to areas that the coyote don't use. You'll find red foxes closer to people, up against their houses and communities where the coyotes are, you know, out in the little undeveloped areas a little bit more.
Yeah, a little shy, a little more shy.
Yeah, you know, so an acre can only support so many animals, and the coyote's a 30, 40-pound animal, and a red fox is a 10-pound animal.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Instead of four foxes, you have one coyote. You know, it's just math.
I got you. And fur trappers, you know, the coyotes are trappable, but the more so pursued at night. At nighttime with night vision and things like that, the nighttime predator hunting has been gaining popularity. But when you say the coyotes will compete with the red foxes, if a coyote finds a red fox in a trap, it will kill it and basically ruin the hide for the trappers.
If they catch them out in open ground, they'll run them down and kill them also. That's why I say red foxes mainly an edge creature and an open ground creature. And when coyotes start to move in, they tend to move in, like I said, closer to communities and houses, you know,
yeah,
where they have more cover and more escape ground to get away from them.
Makes sense. Absolutely. So you've got fox trapping, and as we move up through the day, there's going to be refreshments. There's going to be displays from guys who are selling retail stuff, too, hunting and fishing and that type of stuff.
Yeah, there's going to be some ammo. There's going to be some, I think, a fishing supply dealer there now is going to show up. Some trap supplies. And then trap supplies, most of those guys are generalists. There'll be quite a bit of hunting gear also. And then we have also what we know as tailgaters in the trapping industry, and that's just guys that show up for the weekend with personal gear that they're either getting rid of or moving on. And that can be anything from you know, traps, old traps, decoys, tree stands. I mean, it's like a yard sale.
So you allow them to come in to compete with your vendors to sell stuff off the back of their trucks?
Well, they come in and pay also.
I mean, they pay. Okay, I got it.
They buy a space to set up also. It's not a freebie.
That's good then. That's good.
I mean, every trapping show has that. Yeah, we've always done that.
They'll
be setting them off the tailgater. It's probably called them tailgaters. They'll be drop the tailgater, the pickup, put a few things out, and they'll sit there and sell.
Maybe I should set up. I've got so much stuff.
The parking lot's pretty big. There's probably still room.
Wow, that's crazy.
If you want a tailgate, just call.
That's cool, though. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So the part that's fascinating to me is you can ride along and watch a trap line being set.
Yeah, on Friday afternoon, we'll have two or three guys that will go out and they'll set a trap line. And that's a public event. People can ride along for that. And they'll explain to you what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Uh-huh.
You know, 'cause you're just setting a trap's one thing, but setting a trap where you'll catch an animal is another. Take
sure.
A 100-acre field. There's a couple spots in that 100-acre field that are way more likely to catch something than the rest of the field. You know, and reading the land and trying to understand where to put the trap is more important than setting a bunch of traps. I mean, one trap in a good spot is better to catch. You're more likely to catch something than 10 traps in bad spots.
That's fascinating because I always preach woodsmanship. You know, you can't just go out and pick a spot in the woods and figure out and think you're going to see something. You got to do your homework. You got to know where the trails are. You know, for deer hunting especially, you got to know where the trails are. You got to know where the entrance and exit is in and out of the fields. You got to know, you know, a certain amount of things about the land, the terrain, and the wind and everything else to make your deer hunting more effective and more efficient. And it's the same thing with the smaller game that you trap. Where's that animal come in and out of the field? What's the food sources? What's the, what's the possibility of setting a trap here as opposed to over there? Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, are these trap lines live? Or are you going to be able to find caught critters the next day?
Yep. The next morning we'll go out and check the traps first thing in the morning. Again, you can ride along for that. I think we've got several hay wagons set up to take people along. And we'll, you know, hopefully show you some catches. And in most cases, they'll be released unharmed.
Yeah.
If they planned on it, I think they're skinning demos from muskrat and mink plants. So those animals are caught during the season and frozen. So they'll be thawed out for the skinning demos. But I don't think they plan on doing any skinning demos for anything else.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, now these animals are legally trapped because you have a numerous guys up there that have the damage control permits and businesses that are...
Well, damage permits, and we also have a collection permit.
Ah, Maryland Fur. I got it.
That allows us to do this as an educational event.
Educational tool. That's fantastic. It's fantastic. And you said something very important, that the animals are released unharmed. I remember at one of the General Assembly meetings where they were talking about banning leg hold traps and things like that. What do you call them now? They're not leg hold traps. What are they called?
Foothold traps.
Foothold traps. Okay, same thing.
Or live capture devices.
The
nomenclature keeps changing, but
yeah,
they're traps.
Yeah, you got to be.
They're designed to catch stuff.
Yeah, but I remember. They were talking about, you know, how brutal and vicious these traps were, and the trappers were making the arguments that, you know, look, if the animal's not going to be collected, we can release it unharmed alive. And they're like, oh, how do you do that? And very, very brilliantly, Cody Kittleman took a fox trap and stuck his hand in it and set it on, you know, on display in the committee meeting, and stuck his hand down in there and let it go shut on his hand, and he held it up and he pulled it off his hand and he said, look, you know, everything, nothing broken, everything's fine. And I think that was a very dramatic moment.
Well, if you also remember, you know, all the animal relocation that's been done over the years in this country, a large portion of it's been done with leg hold traps.
That's true.
You know, wolf reintroduction in Maryland, especially otter reintroduction in the Western Maryland, the Eastern Shore, all that was done with foothold traps.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, we caught them live in those, and, you know, and we transported them. And in otter's cases, they were caught today, and by this afternoon, they were swimming in Yarra County.
Right.
Yeah, you know, there was no holding period. There was no doctoring period. It was, you know, they were immediately being able to be released and be healthy and move on and start a new life in unoccupied territory.
And I've never seen an otter that limps, nor with a prosthetic. So I think we're in good shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. So continue on through Saturday. Some of the demonstrations through Saturday. Oh, the crab feast. Let's back up to the crab feast. Good crab feast coming up Friday night. Tickets are available through the website.
Yep.
And
sales on that, but I assume there's some left. And it's not just the crab feast either. It's all you can eat crab feast, sure, but it's also all you can eat. We generally have roast beef. We have ham.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have corn and all the sides, and you know, you bring your own refreshments, or you can drink our soda and water.
There you go.
And you can hang out, and we have a live band.
This sounds like a good old country time for folks to hang out with the folks that keep this country moving, and just, you know, real people, down to earth, salt of the earth people, and just enjoy their evening, enjoy their 2 days, and learn some stuff while you're out there.
Yep, be easy to do. Yeah.
And then Saturday.
Saturday, I know they have Dakota Flowers coming in to do a world champion muskrat skinner. She'll be there.
She's a nice lady.
Skinning demo, which
yep.
you'll need to be fast because she's quick. I can't skin rats as fast as she can.
Nobody can. That's why she's the champion.
Brian Droneberger, I believe, will be there skinning, doing some mink skinning.
Okay.
There'll be some other demos that day. I think there's that Saturday at 1, noon or 1, I think, is the discussion on thermal calling for coyotes.
Brian Elder.
I hunt with Brian occasionally. And yeah, thermal's a game changer for coyotes. I know he and I, you know, used to hunt coyotes. We'd go with him, and we were still using lights at the time. And I ain't gonna. 10 trips we saw several and killed one,
right?
And the first night I went out with him after he had thermal equipment, I think we killed five and saw 10. And the previous trips was multiple trips, you know, and in one night, you know, thermal just is really a game changer.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Extremely light shy, and even night vision doesn't work as well for them because they pick up the IR.
But yes,
the thermal, you don't realize till you start using thermal how many coyotes you call and never see with lights because they don't look at lights.
Yeah,
but the thermal signature that you pick up the body moving, you don't have to look at you.
Well, that's going to be a very interesting demo, that's for sure. So
yeah.
I'll be sure to try and sit in on that one. That's right.
Yeah, that one, you know, if you've never done it, it is a huge game changer.
And it's not an inexpensive hobby, but what is? I mean, you know, the $40,000 bass boat is not an inexpensive hobby if you want to go bass fishing, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to go long-range shooting, a $7,000 Lapua is not an inexpensive $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $15,000 investment. So it's all what you want to do.
I duck hunt a lot. Believe me, it's not very cheap either.
you're in deep, man. yeah. The decoys, the camo, the steel shot, the shotguns, all of the above.
Shotguns, yeah. Boats. Yeah, I own a small fleet of boats for different types of duck hunting. So
exactly. Yep. So.
Yeah. You'll have to listen to me if you want to at 11 o'clock. I'm doing an otter crapping demo. And then we have a live auction, which is, you know, it's a white elephant auction. You know, there'll be some donated stuff from vendors, so there'll be some new stuff, some old stuff, some collectible traps usually, a little bit of everything.
Nice. That sounds great.
Basically, whatever people carry through the door and give us is what'll be in that auction.
That's pretty cool. So. Yes, indeed. Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday. I'll be up Saturday. Bobby Newton will be coming up there early to set up for the measuring event, and he'll be by himself. He'll have everything he needs. He's pretty self-sufficient. He's done them before, and
you're having the deer measuring and bear measuring there.
Yep. We hope there's some folks out there that have some bear skulls. I know Steve from up there in Washington County killed a nice 6.5-year-old bear that weighed 3-something. He's going to bring his skull down, so We'll look forward to meeting him again, and hopefully there'll be some other bears brought in. We're promoting it online. We're going to promote it again this weekend and throughout the next couple weeks. And then, you know, with all our events, Bucks, Bears, Stags website has our events on it. And we just confirmed another event yesterday for August 23rd in Southern Maryland down in St. Mary's County. So there'll be more on that this weekend, too, on our Facebook page. So.
Yeah, we also have some kids events. We got the scouts will be there with an archery thing. We had some 3D printed traps made, so the kids can actually play with some traps that are geared towards youngsters. They'll be weak enough; they'll be able to set them.
No, wait a minute. You said something very interesting. A 3D printed trap.
Yep.
Functional trap.
Yes.
I can't wait to see that. Can't wait to see that.
I haven't seen it myself. I've only seen pictures.
That's fascinating to me. That sounds like fun. That does.
You just last year, you have a 3-4-year-old kid that can actually come in and put their hands on one and see how it works. Until you get to about 9-10 years old, it's hard for a lot of kids to say even set a trap.
Oh, sure. A lot of spring tension.
Their hands are small. They're not real strong. You need a little bit of strength to set one. And this allows them to see how they work.
That is so cool. That's very cool. So, let's talk about trapping as a part-time job. The fur prices have been down significantly. There's a overstock in supplies. China and Russia are the two biggest markets. We understand that there are sales that go on, and the prices are not like they were back in the. You know, back in the 80s or even the 90s, the prices are down on pretty much everything because of the surplus in the fur market. Am I correct on that?
Russia, we're not doing much business with Russia these days.
No.
Yeah, that was a large portion of the utilitarian fur. You know, because, you know, people think of fur as high fashion, but for large portions of the world, fur is a wearable item. It's a necessity.
Yeah.
It's not something people wear because they want to look good on the weekend. Because it's warm. So Russia's pretty much out of that market. They're still using fur, but they're just not able to buy it on the open market.
I see.
And China, China was the manufacturer of a lot of those items. So generally it went through China and then ended up in other countries where it's a wearable item. You know, the economic downturn with COVID and everything really hurt. And even prior to that, it was slowing down.
Sure.
But,
sure.
It's hard to keep moving. You know, the truck eats fuel.
You're
going to trap foxes. You know, right now, our foxes are a very commercial grade of fox. Yeah, and our foxes generally sell for $8 to $9 a piece right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to drive 100 miles a day and sell an $8 fox.
Yeah, I remember. I remember back. Oh my gosh, late 70s. I gave a fox to a guy that was hit on the highway and. I said, you want to sell it, do what you got to do. He was a trapper. He went out and sold it. I think he got $53 for that fox.
Yeah.
Well, and
recently, it was 2012, 2013, I was selling foxes for a $50 average.
Wow.
Yeah, and catching 200 a year. The math on that's really nice.
Yeah, it is. It is nice. So I got it. Yes, sir.
The economics are out of it now, but there's still some benefits to it.
Sure. Well,
the main benefits is you can help your small game population tremendously. You're worried about your rabbits and your turkeys especially.
Yep.
Keeping your coyotes and foxes under control and keeping for birds, keeping your ground nest and predators under control. The skunks and the raccoons and the possums, thinning them out will help your ground nest and birds tremendously.
Yep. Averting. Go ahead.
Averting just nest destruction or harassment of the hens where they're pushed off a nest and have to start over.
Yeah.
The first nest is usually the most productive. If they have to re-nest, there's less eggs in it and they're less likely to be as good.
We took a little walk on Chesapeake Bay Environmental Services. Chesapeake Bay Environmental Center the other day. And as we were walking along the trail, we could see multiple sites where some predator got into turtle eggs, actually dug out the den and ate the eggs.
Raccoons, without a doubt.
Raccoons, skunks, whatever it might be. And so, you know, that's another benefit. You know, you can increase other wildlife populations, and the predators are, and like you said, the fur bears, the ground-dwelling fur bears like raccoons and skunks and possums and things like that do need to be controlled to save some other species. So, and also there's the rabies aspect of it too, you know.
Yeah, you manage populations are generally healthier. Yeah,
that's
there's
true.
A huge benefit for me over the years, and I know other trappers also, is gain access to land. I mean, trapping's one of the few things you can still knock on doors and get permission.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're going to knock on 100 doors and get 100 permissions, but, you know, you can knock on 100 doors and get five. And those five, you know, after you start trapping those five, you can start getting more permissions from word of mouth, from, hey, this guy's here, he does a good job. You know,
that's right.
You'll get referrals, and I've built trap lines, and I moved to Maryland in 84, and then within 2 years, I had a trap line built in, you know, northern Anne Arundel County, Howard County, and Carroll County.
Yeah.
That one was mostly from knocking on doors, getting started, and then getting referrals from landowners, and then moved to the Eastern Shore in 95, and, you know, within 2 or 3 years, I was trapping in Caroline County, Dorchester County, and Wicomico County, and had probably 30 farms built up.
Wow.
And I still have access to almost all those farms, and, you know, on a handful of those farms, I now have hunting privileges.
That's
great. There's a nice 400-acre farm here in Caroline County. I'm the only guy that gets to hunt it.
Wow.
And it started out by killing beavers that were in the guy's pond.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that one thing leads to another, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, and access to land is the hardest thing to come by anywhere without having to pay for it.
No question.
Trapping's the one place you can, you know, once you learn what you're doing and show that you can be productive, is the one thing you can still walk up to a door and get permission and have something come out of it.
True enough.
And you don't have to hand over money.
That's a good thing. So, well, listen, Richard, very, very insightful, very, very educational for our listeners. We appreciate you coming on and joining us, and we look forward to August 1st and 2nd. We'll be playing those commercials here shortly.
Yep.
So,
I'll be there.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Thanks again, Richard. See ya. Bye-bye. There he goes. All right, we do need to take our first break. Let's play our recorded commercials, and then we'll come back in and do a couple of our live spots, if that's all right with you there. Aaron, go ahead and get her prepped.
Hey, the Sportsman Expo, sponsored by the Maryland Fur Trappers, August 1st and 2nd at the Washington County Ag Center at 7313 Sharpsburg Pike in Boonesboro, Maryland. There's no charge to attend. Learn about fur trapping, how to call waterfowl for predators, set a trap line, or just enjoy the outdoors. It's all here. On Friday, the grounds open at 8 a.m. with dealers for firearms, archery, fishing, and trapping supplies. Flip Ammo will have ammunition for sale. Features of day one include a kids section, youth bow shooting with the Boy Scouts, expert trapping demos, ride along to set up a live trap line. At 6 p.m., there's a crab feast and live music. Crab feast tickets are on sale online at MarylandFurTrappers.org. On Saturday at 7:30, ride along to check that trap line. Demos include Dakota Flowers, the ladies world champion muskrat skinner, and Brian Elder shows thermal hunting equipment. Live and silent auctions, top gun firearms raffle, tip jars, and more. Bucks, bears, stags, scores, Maryland trophies from 10 till 3. See August 1st and 2nd at the Sportsman Expo and Maryland Fur Trappers.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for Mil-Spec Spray-On Truck Liners.
Mil-spec Brayon truck bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. And Mil-spec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Mil-spec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your Mil-spec liner installed at Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. And Maryland Spray Linings is just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver. That number is 410-455-0800. 455-0800. These Mil-spec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment today to get your Mil-spec liner installed.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Just a good old boys. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way, the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
All right, let's talk to Lee and Towson. Morning, Lee.
Morning, Alan.
Thanks for hanging on, buddy.
All good. I heard you speaking about the Muddy River. I don't know if people know the definition of Susquehanna. According to the Susquehanna Indians, is a muddy river. That's the truth.
I believe it. Juniata's Indian name has something to do with Green River or something like that. I can't remember. Green water?
I've heard, yes. Everyone of the, I guess the tributaries and whatnot has some sort of significant meaning to the Indians. And there's,
yeah.
There's quite a lot of history up there as far as... the Indians, occupying that river.
That's true.
But I'm convinced in one way or form or another, they still do. But when you talked about, I don't know what you said, some article about the mud flow or something in the river. Many years ago. Probably 25 years ago or more, I would go up there, and even to the experience that you saw the water was off color. That was just off. But I've been up there when it's downright muddy, and everybody thinks, oh, the fishing's going to be terrible. And but if you get in the right location, I'm not going to be speaking about rockfish, but it was... up at the dam, there was an area called the horseshoe, because the water would bellow around this horseshoe-shaped set of rocks. And if you got anchored on either end of this thing, and it was muddy because they were coming through the, typically it would be 4 to 7 floodgates. And most people would think, well, what are you even doing up there?
Right.
Sometimes including myself. But
what am I doing up here?
What am I doing up here? So we would get up there, and it's actually fairly safe because you got high water, a lot of flow. Yes, it was a strong flow, but if you got anchored in the proper place, we would sit there and catch one after another with the rockfish. And you wonder, well, why would they be there? Well, you got to remember that. This would be maybe after a hurricane or a heavy downpour, and there would be congregations of unbelievable amount of threadfin shad that were getting swept through the dam.
Right.
or over top, because now you're at the floodgates, you're at the top level, and all that congregation of bait coming through the dam was just a smorgasbord for the rockfish. And but it was really interesting as getting boat placement and casting within, sometimes it was within a foot or two of a particular little eddy or where the bait would be laying. But you would sit there and catch rockfish one after another just because of the bait was there, the food was there.
Yeah.
And it was a spectacular. Nobody to this day, everybody thinks, well, look at this idiot going out fishing in this muddy river.
Right.
But it would take a lot of looking sometimes, but it was really always a treat when you found them, and it was usually game on, because unless they shut something down or added to, it was a very consistent bite.
Yeah. The first time I fished Deer Creek for hickory shad, went with Uncle Dale, and he waded out into this particular spot and told me, you know, take up a spot anywhere downstream from me or whatever, and tried to show me a little bit about it, and schooled me on hickory shad. Now, don't get me wrong, I caught my share, but nothing like Dale was catching. But he had been fishing it for years, and the thing that he said was, it's, you know, all about the angles, which is true. You know, you have a spot, the current flows in a certain direction, you cast to a certain spot, and you can expect, you know, after years of experience, you can expect that when your fly makes the drift, you're going to hit a fish, because that's mm-hmm. where they are, just like you were saying. They're not spread out everywhere. They relate to structure, and they relate to the way the food flows.
Yeah, Well, that's
and true. I used to do that. Used to do that fishing for freshwater trout. I had a little brook up in Somerset, Pennsylvania, that I fished, and you know, there would be certain rocks. A fish would be under the certain rocks, and you'd catch a fish and take it out of there. And nature abhors a vacuum, as is the old saying. You know, the next day there's going to be a fish right back in there, because that's a spot where the food flows, and that's where they can take up cover out of the current and, you know, catch whatever comes drifting by. So, yeah, it's
yeah. You know. Yeah, it's a difference of fishing moving water and, you know, a tidal water. To learn a body of water where you have that type of structure in fishing is it's really a challenge. It's
oh, yeah.
taken me years to learn it, and that's what it's all about, is the learning experience. It's, you know, sometimes almost every time I go out, I'm like, where are they today?
And well, you know, if you're not learning every time you go out, it becomes boring.
Yeah,
that's right. The same way with hunting. You know, I see something new every time. So
yeah. So. One thing I want to bring up real quick: I fished Sunday where it was still a wreck season, and we fished with circle hooks.
Really?
Alan, with it's not my cup of tea with using live eels up around Poole's Island. It was quite a bite, but it's Alan, I'm a newbie at it, and my buddy, he's very experienced, and don't set the hook, you know, just let them run with it, and
right,
I don't even think you just more or less just let them swim into the hook
pretty much.
Well, we were consistently missing fish, not hooking them. And out of probably, I guess I had maybe a dozen hits or runs with them, and you could feel them grab the eel and run off with them. But I think I hooked two of them in the side of the mouth.
Right.
And unfortunately, I actually gut hooked a few where we were fortunately enough able to get the hook at them. But I was surprised with the circle hook that. That happened. I'm just curious of other, and again, this is something I do maybe three or four times a year with a friend of mine who really is good at it and knowing where the fish are, but
I noticed when we live-lined on a trip with Captain Ryan a couple weeks ago that they had to use a circle hook, and I think they were trying not to keep the spot a lot more lively by using a smaller circle hook. And we had the same thing happen once or twice where the fish would get hooked deep. And I think if you increase the size of the hook, the rockfish has a big enough mouth, it's going to be able to take a 2-aught, 3-aught hook. If you use a bigger hook, you send less chance of gut hooking the fish because it can't swallow the whole thing. Just my thoughts on it. What do you think? You're far more experienced at it than I am.
These were 6-aught hooks.
6-aught?
A big hook. 6-aught.
Wow, then my theory's out the window. So,
well, no, that's what my daughter had and my friend had, 6-aught hook. And it was a bigger hook, but really the disheartening part was most of the fish that we caught were overs.
Oversized,
oversized, and it's kind of disheartening throwing back a fish that you feel is probably going to die.
Yeah.
You know, with this slot limit to 24 inches, and here we're catching a 25-inch fish and whatnot. So
I got it.
It's like, wow.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, how many fish do we have to go through till we, catch our 24-inch fish?
Right.
It was quite a challenge to catch them that size.
Yeah. All right, buddy. I got to let you go. It's a time thing. Not that I don't love talking to you, buddy.
All good.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
You do the same. Thanks, Lee.
All right. See you, Alan.
Yep. Bye-bye. All right. Well, let me tell you, backyard billies. I love talking about backyard billies. You know why? They have so much stuff there, I can't cover it all in 1 minute. So I'm going to simply say this. If you need anything for your outside, your yard, anything in your yard, like tables and chairs and Adirondack chairs and picnic tables and things like that, the go-to places for making backyards fun is Backyard Billies. You know what you've got coming up. You know how many birthdays and family reunions and anniversaries and crab feasts you're going to have. Why not do it in style? The cleanup on these poly tables is unbelievable. You hose them off and wipe them down and you're done. They're resistant to rain and warping and everything else. So it's well worth the investment for that. And Adirondack chairs, most comfortable. There's 1,000 of them in stock. But they've got all the big stuff, too, and I've named it before. The gym sets, the tiki bars, the storage sheds, the greenhouses, the chicken coops, the dog kennels, the pergolas, the gazebos, and all that stuff. Free delivery and set up within 60 miles and free delivery to the Maryland and Delaware beaches. And inside the showroom, furniture, furniture, furniture. On one side, on the other side, is the heat center, which is Hearth America, and that's got the barbecue grills and the fireplace inserts and the freestanding wooden pellet stoves and the fire rings and all that stuff. It's a giant destination, Backyard Billy's, right there at the end of Kent Narrows, Kent Island. You can check them all out online, backyardbillies.com, 410-827-4500, 410-827-4500. If you need anything for your big green egg or your pellet stove, they've got all that. They're open 7 days a week, Route 50, Exit 44, Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look fantabulous at Backyard Billy's. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, right there in Lansdowne, Halethorpe, Baltimore, 212-27, right off Beltway exit number 9. They've got all the live and frozen bait and minnows. They've got the crabbing bait. They've got the crabbing supplies, the open-top traps, the baskets, the plastic baskets, the wood baskets with lids, the trot line accessories. They've got the steam pots. They've got their own brand of seasoning. They've got the nets, the hand lines, and anything and everything you need for your successful day of field when you're crabbing, that's for sure. And don't forget all the fishing tackle, rods and reels and line and lures and, terminal tackle, the hooks and weights and bobbers and rockfish supplies and circle hooks and all of the above. And, of course, premium monofilament and Power Pro braid line, too. So why not stop by Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, as I said, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. Make sure you check them out for their hunting equipment, too. Full-line Browning firearms dealer. ClydeSportsShop.com is the website. A lot of stuff on there that's pretty nice. Clyde's been around since 1957, open 7 days a week. You'll be glad you did. We'll be right back.
Crabs, crabs, crabs. Hunter's Crab and Seafood Market is family-owned and operated seafood market in Graysonville, Maryland. Stop by 4801 Main Street in the heart of Graysonville. Hunter's Crabs is easy to get to from Route 18 or Route 50. Order takeout steamed crabs or shrimp, grab a lunch special, or stop by the seafood counter for a variety of the freshest, freshest fish. Take your crabs home or sit outside with your family and friends. Get your steamed crabs, fresh fish, oysters, crab meat, crab cakes, shrimp salad, and soft crabs at Hunter's Crabs and Seafood Market, where the local seafood lovers get their favorites. Call Hunter's Crabs at 410-827-8923 for carryout. Check out Hunter's Crabs on Facebook for specials. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. till 7 and Sunday from 10 to 5. Crabs, 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 410-827-8923 for Hunter's Crabs and Seafood Market.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much and want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. At Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. Bel Air Gun Range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports, competition, hunting, and home protection. Ammunition, too. Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL handgun qualification license courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. Call 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Cool Ice, that's K-O-O-L, Ice, in Cambridge, has the freshest fish and seafood on the Eastern Shore. If the question is about seafood, the answer is always Cool Ice. Looking for live or steamed hard crabs? Cool Ice. Fresh picked crab meat? Cool Ice. Whole fish, fish fillets, or fish filleted to order? Cool Ice. Fresh or steamed golf shrimp or snow crabs? Yeah, Cool Ice, man. Soft crabs, lobsters, or crawfish? Cool Ice. Scallops, octopus, alligator? Cool Ice. Ice, really. By the bag or block? Yep, Cool Ice. For anglers or crabbers, Cool Ice has alewives, mud shad, frozen peelers, and soft crabs or bullocks and chicken necks. Cool Ice is open year-round at 110 Washington Street in Cambridge, Maryland. Visit Cool Ice on Facebook for specials. Give them a call to order. 410-228-2300. That's 410-228-2300 for crabs and seafood. Cool Ice, man.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Mossy oak swamp bottom dewdrop falling. Old Tom answering a hoot owl's calling. Nothing like the sound when the day breaks. Me and Daddy in the woods on a Saturday. You
See, his granddaddy hunted these hills, and I hope someday that my kids will. He said, do me a favor before I'm gone. Love this land and pass it on. Pass it on.
Pass it on, that's for sure. All right. So you heard the singer say hoot out, wild gobbler answering a hoot owl calling. And I've heard hoot owl ever since I was a kid. And, you know, commonly known as a hoot owl is the barred owl. And that's the owl that hoots, who cooks for you. Pretty common around here. But I asked Rudy if he ever heard him, you know, chuckling back and forth when we were looking at him the other day down at Seabeck. And he said no. And I found a recording of a hoot owl chuckling back and forth. They talk back and forth. It's fascinating to hear out in the woods, that's for sure. So let's talk to Jerry in Baltimore. Morning, Jerry. Thanks for holding on. Hello, Jerry. Let's
Morning,
go to Cliff.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, is this Jerry?
Yeah, sorry. My face touched my phone screen and it muted it. Good morning.
Good morning. My ear hit the record button the other day, and the voice came on and said, this phone call is being recorded.
I'm sorry, say that again.
My ear hit the record button on the phone the other day when I was in conversation. All of a sudden, this voice came on and said, this call is being recorded. I'm like, I'm trying to hold my phone in my...
I'm sure you've done it. Most of us have. Would you pocket dial somebody unintentionally, naturally, and you're talking, and somebody calls you back later and say, I heard your conversation. You were talking and saying this and saying that.
I know. That's crazy, isn't
it? TMI.
Yep.
My daughter's 31.
Yep.
When she was like 8 years old, maybe nine, I told her I wasn't going to get her a cell phone until she was 16. And I had one, so she would use mine.
Right.
One day she pocket dialed me, and my daughter was saying, four-letter words would make a sailor blush.
Oh, your 8-year-old daughter? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, you know, they go to school and they socialize, so they
can't. Uh-huh.
But anyway.
Was there a conversation after school that day?
No, it was during school.
No, I mean, was there a conversation
school.
With your daughter?
She took my phone. She wasn't supposed to, but she took my phone with her.
Oh, boy.
You know, in other words, she had somebody else's phone, and she was talking, you know, you're not supposed to have a cell phone in school.
Right.
If I could dial me, I got it backwards. So, look, I wanted to say to you, I live near the middle branch where the Patapsco.
Right.
Harbor Hospital, Westport, Churchill, Fairfield. So, anyway, several years ago, someone said, or it was an announcement, actually, over the radio, that any fish caught in the middle branch, you would have to handle with gloved hands. In other words, don't touch the fish with your bare hand after you catch it. And I said, if you can't touch it with your hands, I'm assuming it meant that there's some kind of growth or whatever
myco.
On the fish surface.
It's called mycobacteriosis.
Then you can eat the fish. How can you not touch it, but you can eat it?
Yeah, that's a good one. Good question. I don't know that there's
Have
an
you
answer
ever
for
heard
it.
Before?
Yeah, I don't. You know, that was when the myco scare was out there, and everything had fisteria and mycobacteriosis and all that stuff. You know, but right now, unless you know, I don't see any reason. Unless you want to use rubber gloves to handle fish, you can do that. But
no, that was several years ago. It was 10 years ago.
That was during the myco scare, I believe. Mycobacteriosis. You know. Yes, we're catching fish with sores.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, the panic was we're catching fish with sores and that type of thing, and there was mycobacteriosis was out there. The water quality, the oxygen content wasn't good in the water, which it was down in June, by the way. The hypoxia was not good because of all the storms, but you know, that's done. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because like I said, I mean, it was stuck in my mind.
Sure.
I couldn't tell you what happened down to 3 nights ago, but I remember that from 10 years ago or so.
Right.
So, look, Alan, let me tell you something. I was out in L.A. last week.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about radio programming and ratings and all that.
Right.
But your show is hot in Hollywood.
My show is hot in Hollywood.
Yes, sir. In Hollywood...
You're known as Alan Charlton Heston Ellis, a.k.a. Heartthrob.
Heartthrob.
For information, your demographic is 95% female, 40 to 60 years of age.
Dang. How do you know this?
Would I lie?
Likely. You're an anonymous caller on the radio. Why wouldn't you?
It sounds good, though. Doesn't
it? Yeah, I like it.
See? You know, I'm going to rest my case. I don't think I could top anything I've said previously, so I'm going to leave it at that.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call. See you later. Charlton Heston. Love it. Clay, good morning. We have a very short window, buddy.
Alan, good morning. That's a hard call to follow.
Yeah,
I can rest peacefully now, knowing why the Susquehanna River is brown.
I'm glad we cleared that up. Figuratively.
That's been bothering me forever. Just like I've heard conversations in my cars of people as we're going over the Bay Bridge, and they're discussing why patches of the bay water are darker than others.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's a cold spot, or that's the salinity's different there. And I'm like, man, come on. Look at the clouds.
Look at the sky. There's a cloud over that part of the bay.
Good Lord, just look at the sky. Anyway, I know you're short on time. Good to talk to you, Alan.
All right, buddy. Stay in touch.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Clay. Bye-bye. Yeah, I've seen that out on the bay, and you go, "What, cloudy day or spotty?" You look down, and you know there's a dark spot in the water. I've never heard somebody actually comment like that on it, but it makes sense. People just don't know. there's a cloud. That's why the part of the bay is darker. Oh my gosh! All right, one more time. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Baltimore, 21227. In Lansdowne/Halethorpe, fishing tackle, firearms. Just for an example, the Browning A-Bolt Hunter centerfire rifle. It's got a beautiful satin walnut checkered stock, a matte blue barrel in action, detachable rotary magazines, a short throw bolt, and an adjustable trigger. If you're looking for a new high-powered rifle, centerfire rifle, why not stop by Clyde Sports Shop and check out the X-Bolt Hunter. They've got the full line of Brownings, and they are your full-line Browning dealer for licenses, firearms, ammunition, scope mounting, home protection, firearms as well, and all the accessories. Clyde Sports Shop is the spot to go. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, ClydeSportsShop.com is the website, ClydeSportsShop.com. Open 7 days a week. Stop by for hunting, fishing, crabbing, and everything else. You'll be glad you did. Backyard Billy's, right there at the end of Kent Narrows in Graysonville. Backyard Billy's is your place for not only the finest in outdoor furniture, picnic tables and sheds and everything else, all the big stuff for your backyard. Also for your heat sources, your fireplace inserts, your freestanding wooden pellet stoves, your fire rings and barbecue grills, all at Backyard Billy's. Why not check those folks out on their website, backyardbillies.com, or stop by Hearth America Facebook page, 410-827-4500, open 7 days a week, Route 50 at exit 44B, Evans Avenue, Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the fireplace. And there's the music. Did we miss some spots today, Aaron? Okay, Madonna Seafood right up there in Harford County, right across the Baltimore County line. Great food, great crabs. Look them up and go visit them. Tell them you heard about them right here on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Madonna Seafood, great folks, great food. Well, there's the music. Whew. We got busy there at the end. We sure did. Good information on trapping. Good information on the show coming up August 1st and 2nd, Friday and Saturday. Hope you can make it. I'll be there Saturday and get to meet some of you folks. Get out, stay safe, Love your family. Love the Lord. See you next week.